Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
As I was praying today, I heard the phrase, eternal life began when you got born again. Eternal life is not, you know, we've got some misconceptions in the body about it, and I used to have. And I think it's because when people would witness, when we heard people witness, generally they used the scripture, which is awesome, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And it was usually used in the context of when you die, you get to live forever in heaven. And that's great, but it's kind of not the whole story. And so if you look up that phrase, everlasting life, what you find is the word that they've translated as everlasting, it actually means perpetual, which means that from the moment you got born again, if you're born again, you received at that time the beginning of your life in God, that life from God that is perpetually flowing, which might be like saying rivers of living water. Now, the reason this is a big deal is the greater your revelation of these truths, the more of heaven you will walk in while you're in the earth. Because we don't want to wait until we pass away to discover all these things that God wanted us to walk in and to release in the earth. So no matter what your calling is and no matter what your gifting is, this is so exciting if you get this revelation. And the older I get, the more I am learning about this life force of God, this life of God that he has already given us past tense. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures that might hopefully help this, bring this to light. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life," or that perpetual life, "and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." And I'll explain in a minute why I think this is such a big deal. This doesn't just mean you're saved and go into heaven when you die. This gives you permanent access into the heavenlies from the moment you're born again. And you might say, well, that's a little weird. It probably does sound weird, but your spirit man has access to the Holy of Holies all the time, not when you're good enough or when you've performed well enough or, you know, even when you've intellectually understood enough. You have been given access not just to heaven, but to those things in heaven which Jesus purchased for you. Things that you've been asking for, maybe believing for, maybe quoting the scriptures for, have already been given to you, but they're most easily accessed and pulled when you have a revelation that your life is in heaven. We might quote the scripture, your life is hid with Christ in God, right? You're complete in him. You're seated in heavenly places. And for most of us, until we've encountered a lot of time with God, I'll say it that way, time with God opens this revelation more and more at ever increasing levels. And so I understand more this year than last year, and I understood more last year than the year before that. But what is so exciting to me is as this mystery gets revealed to me, heaven becomes more real to me than my own living room. And not just heaven there, but me living in heaven. Now that sounds very strange to some people. And I would understand if you say, oh, too much for me, I'm turning it off. But you have to understand your born again spirit is actually part of God. And when you were born again, he gave you a, what some people would call supernatural, but it is a holy and an eternal access to him, his kingdom, and all that Jesus died for you to have, right? And so one of the reasons that people find frustration and failure and they lose some battles is because of a lack of revelation of what is really ours and how to access it. And there are a lot of things taught in the earth. There are a lot of things taught in certain camps in the church of how to access it. And some are programs, and some of them work, but to me, they're kind of the long way around, to be honest. Because I found that if my revelation, if I can come to a place of understanding, when I started to understand this, it became very, very, very easy to access the victories of heaven, all the things Jesus died for us to have, which is that every need we have, he died for the solution. And he didn't just die for us to have it someday. It is ours now. And the minute you were born again, it was actually, your name was actually attached to that bank account. And I don't mean just finances, but I mean finances, healing, emotional victory, inner healing, all that you could ever need in this life, right? Jesus died for those solutions. This is so amazing. And so even if you've come to a place where you have that revelation, next you have the job of figuring out, how do I receive what he died for me to have? And so we go through these, I hate to say it, kind of mind games and trying to get it to happen and follow programs. But if I can get the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, right, who has helped me to understand, you know, he's the Holy Spirit, and he wants to infuse you with such a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you gain such a knowing of heaven being your home. This, you're just passing through here. This is kind of a junk heap, you know. This is like a cheap plastic imitation because it's a fallen planet with people. We love them, God bless them, and we want them saved, but they are fallen, and so they behave according to Satan's rules, right, if they're not saved. So you're going to contend with that. You're contending with earth rules, which, you know, are not great. There's a lot going on in the world. But if you get a hold of the fact that you are a heavenly creature in an earthly body, and that started from the moment you were born again, it will change the way you see yourself, your surroundings, your faith. Everything becomes so much easier because Jesus has already given it to you. And one thing you need to know is whether you have a revelation of it or not, he has still given it to you. In other words, there are things that belong to you in your heavenly account. They are yours, whether you know it or not, whether you access or not, whether you use it or not, whether you pull it into the earth or not, it's still yours. And so the issue isn't, what we sometimes do when we don't know this is we start to beg God. We beg God to help us, and we beg God to give us things that not only has he already given us, but he's given us access to it. And so you've probably heard me talk about that this is kind of like the local library. If you have the library card, you can walk in and access any part of that library free of charge. Any book, you can go take out artwork, you can go rent, take out a symphony, right? An audiobook, an ebook, you can go watch a movie when they do movies, you can go to book club because you have the access card. Well, in a way, heaven has a parallel to that. If you are born again, you are a citizen with a legal right in heaven. And not only that, you're God's own child with his name, right? You've been brought into his family as part of his family, which means you are part of the royal lineage of heaven. And so you have access to all kinds of things that you may not realize. Or maybe you've come to a place in the Word where you say, yes, I know that's mine, but I don't know how to get it from there to here, or I don't know how to see it happen in the earth. And so there are a lot of different methods that are taught. Some are very good. But what I really want to get at here is if you get the revelation, if your mindset and your focus can change from here to there, it's like you rise above and you're walking at a realm where it's, you can freely pull the things that God has freely given. So it can come to a place where you don't just believe. A lot of people look at heaven like it's there, it's far off, it's far away, and I'm here and I've got to get through this life. Oh, Lord, help me. And I used to think that way. But as God has helped me to understand his word and helped me to understand heavenly things, it's almost like because of my focus, it's more like I live there. I'm aware that my physical body is here. Listen, Jesus lived in two places at once. The way he did the miracles he did was that he was a heavenly man in an earthly body. You know, it says that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in him. It dwelt in his mortal body. That body, once he got full of the Holy Ghost, he had all the fullness of the Godhead. I mean, we could take off with that. I mean, if we listen, the majesty and the power of God is so vast, and yet it was living in his mortal body. But people on earth saw him as an earthly man. They didn't know what was contained in that man. They didn't understand it. But you know who knew? Satan knew. You know, anytime Jesus would show up somewhere and a demon-possessed person would see him, they would immediately hit the deck. Remember when he met the Gadarene demoniac? You know, they would hit their knees and beg for mercy. Oh, don't cast us out before the time, you know. Send us into the pigs. Because they saw. Now, how did they know? And the humans didn't always know. How did the Pharisees not know? How did humans not always know? And it had to be revealed to them before they said, oh, this is the Messiah, right? It had to be revealed to them by God, right? But yet Satan knew on sight. And you know why? Because Satan lives in the realm of the spirit and can see. He could see, could look at Jesus and say, oh, that's God. That's God right there. I know who you are. Remember, this is a quote from the devil. He said, I know who you are, the Holy One of Israel. Have you come to torment us before the time, right? Because he knew who he was. Well, can I say to you that an awareness of God's realm brings great victory in every area, right? And so that's why Satan tries so hard to keep you earthbound in your vision, earthbound in your thinking, earthbound in your reading. And he even tries to keep you earthbound when you read the scriptures so that you read them with this sort of ceiling on. But God wants to give you such a revelation of his house, his world, his realm, and that should, believe it or not, become normal to you. So I don't want to move too fast here. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So John 17:3, this is eternal life. Now again, remember I said we think of eternal life as, oh, I'm going to live forever when I die. But John 17:3 is the definition here. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That they know you. That's eternal life, knowing him. Eternal life is actually perpetual life from God. It's entering into that through knowing him. And that word know, one of my favorite, you know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but one of my favorite words is gnosko, because it means to know experientially, not with your head knowledge. A lot of people know about Jesus, but if they don't know him, they're not born again. If they don't know him, they're not going to operate in the life of God. And so that word know, listen to this, it's the same word as in Luke 1:34, where Mary, who was a virgin, said to the angel, remember the angel said she was going to bear a child. She said, how will this be since I do not know a man? Same word, know a man intimately. Same word in Matthew 1:24, when Joseph, her betrothed, woke up. He did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and embraced Mary as his wife, but he did not know her in the biblical sense. He did not know her or had no union with her until she gave birth to the son. That is the same word. Let's back up and say it again. This is eternal life, that they know you. In other words, with firsthand experience. In fact, gnosko, I looked that up. It says to know through personal experience or firsthand acquaintance. So there's this connection to God that opens heaven to us, but he will never force more on us than we are ready for. But as we cry out to God, there are things that he will show us and allow us to walk in as the norm. So here's a scripture. I kind of want to open the scripture a little bit. It's 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Now, this is kind of a fascinating scripture. So you're supposed to fix your eyes not on what is seen. So I'm sitting in a living room, and if I were to look away from my camera, I would see blinds, I would see a keyboard, I would see some lamps, I'd see a prayer chair, I'd see a table. And that is the house that I live in. I've lived in here, in this house over 20 years. That's my home, I know it pretty well. But heaven has become so real to me. Now, I don't think any of us have encountered all there is. In fact, I think we know a tiny little speck about heaven, even those of us who've kind of tried to hang out there. But God, I believe God wants to open the understanding of his world to us. So it becomes normal for us to say, yes, I will receive that. Yes, there's my healing, I'll take that. Yes, there's the finances I need, I'll take that. Do you understand that in heaven, God goes into detail in the Word of God about your finances? He talked about the storehouse in heaven. He said, store up treasures in heaven. There's a real storehouse in heaven. There's a real, literal storehouse in the temple. And in that storehouse, you have treasures. And you know whose they are? They're yours. And they're stored up for you. But they're not stored up for your when you go to heaven when you die. They're for you to access now. It's just like a bank account. But if you don't have a revelation knowledge of this understanding, you won't know how to withdraw or to receive or to pull out of your heavenly bank account. Amen? So God wants to give you such a reality of his world that you understand his world is your world. And I think that's where we need to make the shift. When I first started walking with God, I had an awareness. I fell in love with the Holy Spirit, and I learned how to be led by the Spirit in the earth. And that was awesome. It changed the way I functioned. It changed the way I preached. It changed the way I taught. It changed the way I thought. The Holy Spirit saved my life. But at some point, the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to understand God's world. And he began to teach me and show me and, in fact, take me to places where I could understand the way things work in the kingdom, because he wants us to have victory in the earth. So fixing our eyes, or fix your eyes, that's like focusing not on what is seen, but is on what's seen. What is, excuse me, unseen. How do you fix your eyes on something that's unseen? So what he's talking about is the eyes of your spirit. Remember, Paul prayed that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That's not these eyes, is it? It's your born again spirit. And so he wants to enlighten you to know the hope of your calling. He wants you to understand all that God has given you. He wants you to know all that has been released to you by Jesus, so you can walk in it, because that's what builds the kingdom, not just for you. It's not really just about you and me. It's about the fact that that gives us all the tools we need to help people. And if you, like, how would it be for me if I had to worry all the time about, oh, is God going to pay for this bill? And, you know, do I have to go back to work? If I had to worry about that, my life would be hard, wouldn't it? But because I understand heaven, and I understand the storehouse, and I understand the treasures that have been stored up for me, do you know how much I worry about that? Zero. I never have to worry about that. I don't look over my shoulder. I don't worry about it. I don't question it. I have a revelation from God how to do it. The more revelation we have, listen, my people perish for lack of knowledge. God wants us to understand, because he wants a people that know how to operate in these things for the sake of his kingdom. It's for the sake of the kingdom. It's for the sake of those who don't know how. What about the people who can't do it for themselves? Who will help them? I watched Edgar heal the sick. It was so fun to watch. See, he had something from heaven. You know where he got it? He got it from heaven. Edgar sought the Lord with everything in him, with such a zeal. And he sought the Lord so fervently that something from heaven came, and it looked like a fireball, but it literally hit him in the chest, knocked him into the house, and it infilled him. And he began to walk in miracles and healing. But with it, here's what I saw. He had a tremendous compassion and love for the sick. He cared. He truly, it just weighed on him when someone was in pain. It weighed on him when someone was sick. You know, I watched him deliver the goods from heaven into people's body. You know, people who didn't know that Jesus wanted them healed, didn't know that Jesus had died for their healing, didn't know that that belonged to us by covenant right, and certainly didn't know how to pull it. And so I watched. So because he operated it, he was able to deliver it. And so I feel like God is saying to us, would you like to be a person that can deliver the goods? I remember a pastor was talking to me about Edgar, and he used this phrase. And it was the first time I'd ever heard a phrase like this. And he was talking about Edgar. He said, he's got the goods and I've seen it. And I thought, that's the truth. He's got the goods, and I've seen it too. And what that meant was we saw real miracles, like miracles in front of our eyes. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have someone come back and say they were healed, but let me tell you, when you watch a miracle, an impossible creative miracle, boy, it does something to you. It changes you. You're never the same. You're never the same after that. And what has just happened? Someone who understood heaven and their account in heaven and understood how to simply pull something and deliver it was able to change lives forever. We've got people that are alive today still because Edgar laid hands on them. One guy got a new heart. Boom. Took about this long. Edgar said, new heart, and hit him in the chest, and he got a new heart. And he was a goner, that guy. He would be dead now. So all kinds of people. We could give you testimony. One man was in had stage four cancer. And he came up to Crystal Lake, and he went up. And he was actually an older man. And Edgar said, don't say you have cancer. Say you had it. And he laid hands on him. And that man was healed. And the doctors had pretty much told him, you know, if you've ever wanted to do anything, just go do it. Because, you know, really, they said, you've only got a few weeks. Well, he lived for years. He was completely healed. And we didn't hear from him for a while. And we wondered why we didn't hear from them. And finally, his wife wrote and said, well, we've been in Hawaii and we're having a great time. And he had a clean bill of health from his doctor. See, that's a creative miracle right there. And it's not hard for God. But how fun would it be to be the guy that's delivering something from heaven? See, those things belong to us by covenant right. But they can't, if our focus is earth, is the earth realm, we won't be able to grasp it. So this idea of fixing your eyes on things, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. I think I used to think of that as a glance. You know, you get glimpses of heaven, or you seek the Lord and you get moments of a touch or an anointing, and that's wonderful. But can I just say that when you fix your eyes, it becomes so real to you, heaven becomes so real to you that you don't feel like you're calling on God who is far away. You feel like you're talking to someone you are very deeply in love with, and he's right here, like right here, right? You have the feeling of being in his arms. When you're worshiping, you feel like you're hugging him, loving on him. That might sound strange, but that's real. Colossians 3, 2 and 3, set your affections. Notice the words, fix your eyes. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Well, where is that? That's in heaven, isn't it? It's in his realm. Now, here's an interesting scripture. Jesus was talking about how he's the great shepherd. And he said, I am the gate, or the sheep gate. I'm the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. Now listen to this. He will come in and go out and find pasture. He won't just come in and then he's saved. Like, okay, we get saved when we die. He'll come in and go out. He'll move in and out of the realms, right? He'll move, he'll come and go. What could that mean except the spirit realm and the earth realm? What could that mean but to do exactly what he did, which was a heavenly man walking in a mortal body, and that heavenly spirit, that heaven spirit that was in him, communicating with the Father, right? He said, I only do what I see my Father in heaven doing. So he's getting the news from heaven. He would speak it or move his hand. He would do according. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So the Father would give him a word, give him a direction. He would do it. And as he did it, heaven, or the item from heaven, came into the earth. So, for example, the man who was born blind, right? Jesus healed him. Now, it's not possible. And even that man said, when he had to testify before the Pharisees, you know, they kind of dragged him on the carpet, right? And they challenged him. And they didn't believe Jesus. You know, they said, who do you say this man is? And they were kind of mean, and they were making this man testify. And the man was saying, you know, He's a prophet. He's from God. He said, in the history of the world, it has never been said that a person got their sight that was born blind. It had never happened in history that someone born blind got their sight. Can you imagine? That's not somebody who lost their sight for a few years. That's someone who has never seen anything. They've had to go through life with their hearing, with their other senses, and suddenly Jesus comes and opens their eyes. Now, how does something like that happen? How did that happen? How does something like that get delivered into the earth? How does your healing come? You know, many people do understand that Jesus died to give you healing as well as forgiveness, but it's a mystery how to pull it, right? Well, what happens is that when something exists in heaven and it's already done, it's already, we would say, a done deal. It was done. It was finished as part of the covenant. It's yours. When you were born again, your name was attached to the Father's account. All that he has is yours. The Bible says, all things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. We have to begin to challenge our own thinking, stretch our understanding to believe what the Word actually says. All things are yours. What does it mean, all things are yours? All the things that Jesus died for believers to have already belong to you legally, legally by covenant right. And so it is your covenant right to go into heaven by the Spirit, by faith say, that's my healing, I will take that. I'm receiving my healing. I'm pulling my healing. I'm getting my healing by faith. I'm getting my finances by faith. My bill is paid by faith. And that's why faith is so important, because faith is the evidence of things not seen. It's a substance, right? Faith is a substance. It's a substance in heaven. If you were in heaven, you would be able to see faith. In heaven, it's a substance that's visible. It's not visible to these eyes, but it's a real thing in heaven. Faith is like a currency. And so if you don't know what you're believing for, and you're just hoping God will do it, then you don't have an understanding of who you are, whose you are, and all that he did for you. And so that's why the Word of God is so important, because it spells out all the things that he died for you to have. Now the interesting thing is that when you were born again, that very moment, your name was not only written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but all those things that Jesus has purchased, all of them, became yours because you are now in the family of God. You're his son or his daughter. And those things belong to you. All things are yours. And you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. And so God desires, he's actually looking for some of his children that dare to believe what the Word of God says belongs to them, and dare to have faith for it and proclaim it or confess it. But more than that, he would like you to begin to press into him to have a real revelation of what that means, what belongs to you. Press in to the Lord. Press in prayer. Don't just, you know, going through life reactively is kind of a failed prospect, right? Because if you just casually go on and you're just trying to be a good Christian and do the best you can, you get beat up. You know, the only reason this is so important to me is I got tired of getting beat up. And it was getting beat up because I didn't have a revelation of all that belonged to me. And so I fell into sadness and grief and depression, and my life was terrible, terrible, but it was because of a lack of knowledge. It was lack of understanding, lack of revelation. I couldn't understand why the promises were there, but they didn't seem to be happening. This is why. And so instead of just shrugging my shoulders and saying, well, I don't know why it doesn't work. Maybe God's mad at me. God and I had some conversations, and I will tell you, I didn't always handle it right. But God took me on a journey for years. I'm still on it, right? Years and years of helping me to see all that Jesus has done and the legality of it, meaning the legality of it means this, that in heaven there are certain laws, spiritual law, that God has ordained, and one of them is that the rules of heaven override the rules of earth. That's how the blind guy got his healing. It is impossible in the earth for a guy that's born blind to receive his sight. It's not possible. That man said it was the first time in history. And the reason it was the first time in history is that's a natural law. Well, a definition of a miracle is it's the reversal of a natural law. And the reason supernatural is called supernatural is super means overriding. Heaven overrides earth. If there is a natural law that you ain't going to be able to pay that bill this week. Let's say you have a bill coming this week. It's impossible. There's no way you're going to be able to pay it. Well, that's what the earth says. You know, that may be what your bank account says, but let me ask you this. Do you have treasures in heaven? Of course you do. Of course you do. Though that is how Jesus brought sight to a man born blind. He brought a creative miracle from the storehouse of heaven to that man's eyes. But somebody needs to be the go-between. Jesus has already done his part. He's already purchased it. But it's up to us to walk in faith. It's up to us to pull it and deliver it. Whether it's a healing, whether it's finances, whether it's emotional healing, whether it's deliverance, right? Sometimes God will have us do something that might be a little different in order to get somebody free, okay? But isn't that who we are? Aren't we to do the works Jesus did? Jesus said, "He who believes on me, the works that I do, will he do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father." That's an amazing statement. We would do the works he did? Yeah. And you know why? Because you're born again, and that born again spirit was made in the image of Jesus with the same God connection, the same heaven connection, the citizenship of heaven. So it all comes down to the focus. Our focus needs to become, what is God saying right now? What is God doing right now? What's going on in heaven? And what is legally mine, and how do I bring it, right? So hopefully this, I'm not hoping so much that this answered questions. I hope this raises questions for you. I hope this raises so many questions in your heart that you determine, I'm going to pray until I understand this. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to ask, seek, and knock until I get a revelation, until the Holy Spirit begins to show me the realm of God, the storehouse of heaven, what belongs to me, shows me in the Word, right? Don't just settle for an experience. He will show you everything by the Word of God. It's all in there. This is all in there, and it's spelled out, and it's awesome. And God wants children who will be overriders. They will be the overriding factor in someone's life. Someone who has no hope, can't make it, doesn't know how to pray, doesn't know how to have faith, doesn't even know what belongs to him. They need someone to come and stand between, right? And Jesus has chosen us. We aren't anybody except that we're born again. And being born again, we are made in the image of God. And so we get to operate the way he did, if we'll operate the way he did. Amen. So hallelujah. Hopefully this has raised a whole bunch of questions. And you know what I really desire for you is that you'll get so hungry and thirsty for the truth in this matter that you'll say, I don't care what I have to do. I am going to seek the Lord until I really get a revelation of this. Because you don't just want the head knowledge. You want this to become the way you see. You want your mind to be so transformed. This is just how you see things. It makes everything very easy. It makes faith very easy when you really see the reality of what Jesus has given us. It makes everything easier.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.